Look at this. I got headphones on. I got a mic going. Baby.
If
Huh?
only people could see you now.
Hey, no video. We've gone through this before. No video.
Welcome to This Commerce Life. This is a podcast aimed at small, medium entrepreneurs focused on commerce. I'm Phil, your host, and Kenny, your co-host, will join us as well. And we're going to talk to you about the world of retail and commerce and how things are changing in the world. Kenny?
Sorry,
sir?
I didn't find the invite.
It's okay. It's all good. It's all good, man. You're sitting in the dark. You look like me usually.
Well, I figured, you know what? It made you smart. So if I start doing this, I'll get smart. That's what I'm doing. I want to be just like Phil.
I usually, at least so you know, I usually sit in our... we have like a sound studio in the house because the kids all do we all do music, but it's all black backgrounds. So everyone makes fun of me because I look like I'm in like a coffin or something. So,
hey, you know what? When it's a podcast, it doesn't matter what you look like, right?
I know. It's the best.
Thank God.
Yeah, thank God. Yeah, really, thank God.
It'd be a real sad day because I don't think we'd get any airtime otherwise.
No, I think people would run away fast.
I would.
Yeah.
So that's too far for me to get up to get the light. I'm cold in the house. I'm in Vancouver. I'm not like you, East Coast. People are used to this. We're freezing. Like, we're freezing to death, right? It's like
really?
Minus 10. It's like, I mean, for Vancouver, with the amount of water we have, like, it's cold. Like, it's bone chilling, freaking freezing.
Yeah. I lived in Vancouver for 4 years and you don't get that cold. That's for sure.
It's different. It's just like, it's a wet, damp cold.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
All good in the hood.
Yeah. We don't feel that sorry for you. It's like minus 16 here. Minus 8 feels like minus 16. So it sucks. And it's been like that for days and days and days.
Yeah. So we're going to get this for, I think, for a couple days. We might get some snow this weekend, which will
shut the
city down.
Oh man.
That's all good. It's all good. All good in the hood.
So we have Elise on with us today. We're very, very excited. I've known Elise. Elise, we met when I came to Ascuti to do a bunch of things, right? I can't remember when that is. It's probably been 3 or 4 years, I guess.
Yeah, so we just passed the 2-year mark of acquisition. So it's probably been about 3 years now.
Okay.
So
Elise Richards works for Ascuti. We'll get it. Well, no, not Ascuti anymore, now Home Depot, right?
Yes, right.
So we'll get you to tell that story a little bit. But I met Elise. She's got a really, well, she's a really cool lady, period.
Thank you.
And she's got a super cool dog that seems to make friends everywhere.
Now two, actually.
Now two.
Yes. I'm one who gave into the you know, pandemic fluster of getting another dog. So we actually got a second dog.
Okay.
A rough collie. So a little bit bigger than my little dog. But
Nice.
Yeah. So, and then I met her when Ascuti was still a startup. So also a really cool story, right? Because Ascuti was a Toronto-based startup focused on data, right? And really, and then got picked up and acquired by Home Depot, which is a really cool story. Really, really cool story. So what we normally do is we kind of, first of all, we don't plan. So we haven't planned anything. But what we normally do is we kind of get you to introduce yourself, kind of tell us a little bit about you. I think, so in context, one of the things that, you know, why we've got Elise on is we, were talking, to Angie Baker a few weeks back, about, you know, what the heck do you do with, you know, CPG skills, you know, all that kind of stuff. And Elise, made a really good point, right? Is that you also get lots of people who are asking how to get into the industry as well. So we thought Elise would be a really good person to have on. Anyway, I'm going to stop talking. If you don't mind introducing yourself, that would be amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks, Phil. My name's Elise. Do I say I'm a Pisces or who knows, right?
Whatever turns your like. Crank, whatever you, information whatever you want to tell people, light it up.
Who you say.
Just no. So yeah, a little bit about my story, how I got to know Phil, all this great stuff. So I actually come from a very different background. I did my undergrad in Vancouver, Kenny, at UBC in opera performance and music. And I did 4 years there. And you know what? I come from a family. My parents are both entrepreneurs. My mother is a career coach. And when trying to figure out what to do, you know, for undergrad, which I know a lot of kids, you know, they think it's their only option, that they have to figure out what they want to do with the rest of their lives. My parents went the other way. And my mom said to me, you know what, your first degree, do what you want, do what you're passionate about, do what you love. Yeah. And with that, you can then do whatever you want. You can become a doctor. You can become a lawyer. You can become whatever you want.
Amazing.
And if you stay with music, great. But it's really yours to choose. Sorry?
That's a smart mommy.
Yeah.
She is. She has her moments.
As they all do.
That was a moment, though. That was a good moment. Good for her.
You know, wow. I give her a lot of kudos for that. And so I pursued opera and music and singing, and I did what I loved. It's a fun little party trick I pull out of a hat every now and then nowadays. So yeah, I pursued that. And then I thought I would become a professional opera singer. And so I actually moved to Winnipeg at that point and started doing a master's degree. And I did some gigging and work and all that, at which point I really started to experience real adult life. And I was challenged with becoming self-sustaining and no longer relying on my parents. And, you know, I was blessed to have that for the length of time I did. But it, as it always does, it came to an end. And I, at that point, just said, you know what, like this isn't a lifestyle I want to sustain. I want to be able to provide for myself. I want to be able to provide for my future. And I just don't want to be in a place where I'm constantly struggling for money or knowing where my next paycheck comes from, because that's just not who I am. For some people that works great, but that's not me. And so I called up my dad and I said, Dad, I'm quitting this music thing. Can you help me find a job? And you know, my dad's in the banking industry, and I was blessed enough to find a job as a financial planner at RBC, totally underqualified, by the way, but got my credentials, did my learning, did my training, did what I needed to do. And through that, I started to observe people around me. And what I found was I was really inspired by the leadership that surrounded me. I was inspired by my branch manager. I was inspired by my regional vice president. And one day, I still remember, I went into my boss's office and I said, so how do I become that? And she said to me, well, there's really two ways you can do it. One is you work your way up the chain. And if you do that, you know, you might do it in 10 or 15 years. You never know. She said, or you could get an MBA and probably move up a little bit faster. And it took me probably all of 5 seconds to make that decision. I called my dad and I said, Dad, I'm doing an MBA. Like, no, I can't afford it. Have no money, have no savings, but damn it, I'm going to do it. And, you know, it was tough. I wrote my GMAT. I did okay. Like I probably got average there.
Yeah.
But you know, for a girl who hadn't touched math for, oh gosh, like 5-6 years, oh, worse, high school.
Probably longer. So. Yeah.
It was a lot longer. It was tough, but you know, I pursued through it and I ended up getting accepted into the Rotman School of Management, University of Toronto. Mm-hmm. And so I moved back home to Toronto, lived with my parents, you know, did the whole struggling student thing again. And I did my MBA, and that was challenging. Like my MBA was totally outside of my comfort zone, incredibly challenging. But I got through it. And when I came out of it, one, I was a stronger, more confident person. But two, I came out blessed enough to have two job offers coming out of it. One was with a bank and one was with, you know, a big retailer, Walmart, that we know of quite well. One thing that the MBA did was it introduced me to a lot of different things. It introduced me to consulting, retail, banking, CPG. It introduced you to marketing and finance and operations and so many things. But one thing that always lit up the room for me and made me excited was retail. Mm-hmm. And
we know this feeling.
Yes. Yes, we can relate.
We know this feeling.
It's funny because I ignored it for so long and you ignore it. Like you don't even realize it. And then all of a sudden it's a wake up moment and you're like, huh? Like this is interesting to me. So I joined Walmart. I joined their leadership development program here in Canada. And I spent, you know, a year and a half at Walmart, got the opportunity to spend a year in store operations, and then spent about half a year, you know, co-managing a store and running or assisting the store manager in, you know, running a $70 million business. And that was a great opportunity. You know, we had about 350 associates in the store. And so that was great. But I very quickly realized that my strengths aren't necessarily in the physical side of things. I'm a very strong strategist. I'm a very strong execution person. I'm great at a desk, but unloading a truck day in and day out just isn't my thing. So I was looking for a change and I came across Ascuity, which is where I met Phil. And from there, Ascuity has just been, they've been great to me. And I've absolutely loved every minute of it. I don't think any 2 days are the same. I started as a customer success manager. And there I was really working with my customers on adoption and learning how to use our platform. And then we got acquired about 6 or 8 months later. And I was moved to what they called the merchant success team. And there I was responsible for the integration of Ascuity to Home Depot. And what does that infrastructure look like? And how do we introduce the product and integrate? And so I got to spend about 26 weeks in Atlanta, you know, learning all about what is Home Depot. And then about a year and a half ago, a new opportunity came about. And you know, through my time in Atlanta, I really got to build relationships with merchants and understand that business. And an opportunity came about for a brand new product to be built for merchants. And my our head of product approached me and asked me if I'd like to take on leading a brand new design of a whole new product. And that's really where I am today. Whoa. I'm
that's really cool.
Wow. Yeah. That's quite the little adventure there.
Yeah, it's gone Jeez. Here, there, and everywhere, and that's where I've ended up. Is I'm leading a product team, and it's fun, and I'm still figuring out what's next. I don't know if I've landed yet, but I think that's the value. I consider myself a generalist, and I enjoy doing a lot of different things. So, I mean, that was a very long-winded story.
Not at all.
No, not really. No, it's interesting.
Yeah.
We get people on the show, Phil, that just, it's such funny. There's no linear path, yeah, right? Yeah. Like yeah, it's just weird how they bob and weave through it. Wow.
I think you have it too, right? The most common thread is you get people come on this show and are able to tell these is like people who are committed to learning. Like, I think that's a really key tenant for almost everybody that's come on the show, right? Is they're committed to learn. And you know, some people have a view of where their path is going and then some don't, but it's always about learning, right? It's always about leveling up. I was laughing earlier because to really my earlier days, I started with the bank. I started when RBC Insurance was still a startup, and I had a similar conversation. I was a customer service rep. I had a headset permanently like sewn into my ear. And when I had the same conversation, that was a similar, except mine came out all wrong, I think, because when I asked like what I could do to move up, and she said, and I remember because my boss said, "You're doing great. If you keep doing what you're doing for another 5 years, you're going to get promoted. No problem." And I went, "Oh my God, I can't take this many phone calls every day for five years. And then, yeah, well, and I actually went the other way. So I didn't get, she tried to sell me the MBA thing, and I went, "I don't have any money. I'm not going to do this. And my math skills are probably subpar to what your math skills are at that point." So I left. I went on contract to Unilever. No, it was Lever Pons at the time. I think I'm really dating myself, but I went on contract for half the money that the bank was offering me, which was almost nothing anyway. And it actually caused the bank to kind of freak out because a full-timer left to go for half the money. But anyway, yeah, so I was laughing when you told that story, because I have a similar one. So
yeah, I think it's funny. There's a lot of similarities. And I think when you look at the themes of what has happened and how everybody's journey goes, everybody's is different, but yeah. I think you'll find some commonalities. So I think I agree totally. One is learning.
Yeah.
I think a second one is coaching and mentors and people who, you know, believe in you and also that you trust. Like I have mentors in my, you know, at my work, but I also have mentors who are in completely different industries that if I just need to bounce an idea or something off them, like I know that I can get an unbiased opinion. And so I think that's been really prominent for me. I've been blessed to have phenomenal bosses along the way for the most part. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you talk about your boss, my boss, I walked in on the first day of my job at RBC, what I call my first job ever. And I still remember we went for lunch. And she looked at me, "You're not going to be here very long, but don't take that personally." And I was, how do you take that? Right? Like, am I going to get fired? Like, should I?
What I do? What I do?
Exactly. I just started. Jesus.
That's amazing.
But what I reflect on that now is that she saw the potential in me and the drive to do more. And so that was kind of my first. And then now at Ascuity, you know, I've been blessed to have multiple bosses, you know, all of which have been huge drivers of helping me succeed and also pushing me when I'm not performing, and they see it in me. They see not that I'm not performing, but they see the potential in what I can do. And so driving that, I think, as well is a really good theme. And I think the third overarching theme is EQ skills are really critical, and connection with humans and people. Yeah. But I think on that note also, it's kind of cliche, but I'm going to say it, which is sales skills. People hate it. People hate it. And I've said myself, like, I hate sales. I've said it time and time again. But at the end of the day, you sell yourself. And this goes back to Phil, what we were saying, like what I said, you know, it's all about transferable skills. I don't care if you're from another industry, talk about how you can bring that to our company or our industry, because you've got some cool perspective that a lot of people don't.
Yeah. I think this is a neat place to start, because we've kind of like banged on the Ascuity thing for a little bit. Ascuity was a Canadian startup that, you know, started helping companies to mine their, you're going to correct me if I'm wrong, but learn from their POS data, learn from data intelligence. it's a cheaper way to do it than some of our syndicated friends out there who charge hundreds of thousands of dollars for, you know, kind of droplets of data, you know. And so at the time you're at Walmart, you're at a, you know, so for the CBG listeners in the world, it probably makes a ton of sense to start here as, you know, you're in the retail world. You're, I heard you. Unpleasant unloading trucks. I'm with you. I like to think of myself as a tough guy, but I have a delicate side to me, and unloading trucks is one of those things where I have to do it once, but I got to do that every day. I'm going to be super cranky and I'm just not going to like it. So how do you, so you get a chance to go to Whiskeyity. Are there, how do you, maybe walk us through how you approach that job, because I think that is the part that I get asked that a lot too, which is why, and you know, is like, wow, you're like classic CPG. How did you get to a tech? Like, you know, for a long time, you know, going to tech startups was very sexy, right? It was the thing. You know, like, how did you approach the Whiskeyity thing, and were there things you had to like kind of cross a chasm to figure out?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I asked myself the same question and had a bit of a panic attack. But again, I'm going to bring my mother into this again, because my mother has come in at the most important parts in my life and provided some advice that I will gladly take and share, which is...
This is a recorded podcast. Careful about how much credit you give mom here.
Are you kidding me? Mom's going to come off like a rock star.
She's going to be able to play this back. Holy, you know,
moly. We're going to have that mom on.
We heard you say I'm right here, you know? So.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen that often. So I'll let her replay the podcast over and over again. So she hears it, you know, 100 times if she wants.
Just make her feel good. Just make mom feel good.
Well, she can play it a couple of 100 times. We're good with that, because that's good stuff.
By the end of this podcast, we're having mom on. I'm telling you.
I'm sure she'd love to have a chat. She's had career consulting, big industry right now, just saying. No, mom, I went to my mom and I said, Mom, like, I need a change. What should I do? And my mom said to me, Technology is the way of the future. You need to get into that industry. And I kind of looked at her and I was like, are you crazy? Like, I have no experience in technology. Like, who the heck?
I'm an opera singer, for God's sake. What the hell, mom?
And she did an MBA. She was a mathematician too.
No, I don't take credit for that one. Sure, I took the courses. Doesn't mean I did that well.
You got through them. Yeah, all you got through. 50 and go, baby.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes, right? At the end of the day, unfortunately and fortunately. But my mom said, you know what, like, let's sit down and look at this. And my mom said to me, you know what, like, if you want to get into tech, let's look at typical technology jobs, right? And let's put down all your strengths on one piece of paper and find what are the common themes throughout your experience.
But did you want to go into tech before you go any further? Like, did you want to? I understand what mom said. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
So mom says you're going to go into tech and you just said, okay, mom. And then sat down, decided, okay, what tech do I want to go into?
This is all going very badly for you.
I know. I'm loving mom. That's good parenting.
Mom's smart. I mean, mom is smart, but did I want to go into tech? I don't think I knew what I wanted to do. Like, okay, I thought maybe banking, because I knew I had experience there so I could go back there. But I mean, I have so many friends in banking that I shouldn't really publicly say this, but like, okay, man, like, that is, can get really boring.
It's like paint drying. You can say it. Oh my God. Seriously. I got people in banking too, in the family. Oh my God.
My dad's in finance. You know what? Like,
yeah.
Yes. No, thank you.
I guess the reason I'm just saying, it's just, you gotta, I mean, again, people, it's hard to sometimes hear yourself and what as opposed to what other people hear. So you think about it, you were, whatever you did in high school, I don't know, but you know, you went into opera because you're musically inclined. Then you went into banking. Then you did an MBA because someone in banking said that'd be a good idea. Then you went into retail. Then you decided, because mom said it was a good idea, you went into tech. Do you see what I mean? Like, it's not, that's very, not very linear.
There's nothing linear about my path.
But it's really cool. I'm always trying to get, because I didn't do any of this. So, because Phil knows, like, I went from high school. I went into university, I went to UBC, got a degree in business, went into sales for a year, didn't like it. Went back into retail because I've been in retail since 14 and basically stayed in retail till now, pretty much. I'm still really in large ways in retail. So mine's really not as fun as yours. You've done, and Phil too, you guys have bounced around. I'm always trying to understand how do you do these leaps? So Phil's question is like, to me, is even more important. I'm dying to figure out how you do these leaps.
Yeah.
You know, you're unloading a truck. We're unloading a truck, then we're in tech.
So I think it's funny you say it. What, it's not about what you're doing, but it's about the skill that you're acquiring doing it. So when I'm selling myself as an opera singer, well, first of all, I recognize I'm unique and not everybody's an opera singer, but I guarantee you everybody has something unique about them and their story that helps them stand out, right? So when I think about my opera singer, fun fact that I use way too much, that is something that makes me memorable. And when people, you know, when I'm 1 in 100 in the interview, it's like, oh yeah, the opera singer, that's a unique fact. Not everybody's an opera singer. I get that. But if you really think you have something cool that you can share, that helps you stand out. So I think that's the first, is figuring out how to stand out.
I like that tidbit, by the way. That's a nice piece of information.
Yeah, it really is.
I mean, opera singers, not necessarily in everybody's back pocket, but there's got to be something that people will say, oh yeah, I remember him or her.
Exactly. And it could be something as dumb as, like, when I was in high school, I failed drama or something. Like, it's just something random and memorable, right? So I think that's the first tidbit of how you can stand out from the crowd. I think the second tidbit is, again, it's not about what you're doing, but the skill that you're acquiring from it. So for example, for myself, I say, okay, when I was an opera singer, you know, I'm constantly collaborating with other people to create productions. You know, you are working with an orchestra, so you're having to collaborate to listen to them. You're following a conductor on the stage who's telling you the tempo that you're going at. You're working with your fellow peers to make sure that the overall stage looks good, right? So it's not about that you're on stage and you're performing. It's about the pace that you're working with people and also the collaboration involved to make it an entire production, because every little detail is important.
That's so smart.
No,
all these years, hundreds of performing hours.
Yeah.
Right. Like hundreds of, I never thought of it.
Heard it compartmentalized quite like that, where you're thinking, well, yeah, I mean, so you got the boss up front, you got your colleagues here.
Very smart. That's very smart. I've never thought about it. I've literally had hundreds of hours with bands, orchestra, you know, like all that, like, never thought of it.
Well, and you can do that with anything, right? Like, then you go into, as a performer, I perform on stage, right? And and all of a sudden, you're not just performing on stage, you are presenting yourself. You are public speaking in front of a crowd. You are, you know, used to presenting in front of people of all various levels. And wealthy, poor, middle class, like everything. And all of a sudden you turn that into your present, like, I have strong presentation skills and I'm comfortable in front of an audience, right? So if you just start to pick apart what you're doing, you can make that relevant to any industry and any job.
She's smart.
She's a smart one.
Very smart. I'm a little afraid to meet your mom now.
No, I don't think I want to meet mom either, because if the fruit didn't fall too far, we're in
big trouble. I'm afraid now.
Yeah.
Okay, family of smarty pants. Yeah. No, but I really love that. Like, I love the
perspective.
Reframing the narrative and like being able to string it together. So for you, because you counterbalance that, right? Like we all were like for the performance minded, we all zero in on, you know, how do I kill the interview so that this is, you know, I'm the only person they want out of the interview, right? Like most of us are wired that way, right? As I'm going in, I'm going to compete. I'm going to when I'm done, I don't want you thinking about anybody else. But did you go into Ascuity knowing what you know, right? That you're not that you're not technically minded, but that you felt like you had strengths in other places, right? You sell the story of who you are with all these pieces. When you get there, are you worried about not being able to contribute or fill in, or what's that?
In your head, do you know who you're competing against, Stephen? Like, what's going on in that noggin? Are you thinking, okay, shit, the person in front of me is probably some math genius, coding, or whatever these people do. And what am I going to talk about?
Well, I can some sing. Birkenstock wearing hoodie. You know,
exactly.
You know, coder.
You know, can barely string two words together without, you know, his thumbs and fingers running through a keyboard.
Yeah, I think it's funny because throughout my journey of going through multiple different places and paths, one thing that you do learn is, like, I went through my periods of having no confidence and started my MBA. I was like this little, because you're surrounded by people with commerce degrees and engineering degrees. Right. And who am I with a music degree doing an MBA? But very quickly you learn to, or at least I learned to, figure out what my strengths are and really hone those in. And that's really where it resonates throughout everything, you know? So when I joined Ascuity, I knew I had retail experience and knew what it was to be an operator. And so that was something that a lot of people at Ascuity didn't have that experience.
Nobody has that.
But did
I did have a colleague.
like everywhere you go, right? Besides now that you're at Home Depot, but almost anywhere you go, that was an eye-opener for me, right? Was
but did you have that? Did you know that before retail? You went in? Did you know that? Did you have an idea? So when you're sitting in the interview, you're thinking, okay, I have to sell myself. And so you have, or you're, but I'm trying to figure out the assumption. I'll tell you why, because I think your perspective is very cool. Like I really do. I think it's just, it's typically what you're going to do. If I'm going for a tech job and I don't have any tech skills, I'm not going for the tech job first and foremost. So if I'm going for a tech job and I got tech skills, all I'm talking about is tech skills. I'm not, you know what I mean? I'm trying to compete head on with people that I have no idea who's really in front of me or behind me. I don't know their skill level. So it's probably a little bit of a dangerous play in some degree, right? Because now it's so easy to compare one-to-one. You, on the other hand, seemed to have gone in, okay, I may not be the strongest in tech. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to sell all these other things.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't do that. You know that, right? I mean, that's not... No, I'm not, and that's good for...
I see, you know what? I think you're giving me a little bit too much credit.
It's too late. We've given it already.
It's well past that. I mean, seriously. Yeah, we have mom on the podcast already. You
decided.
This whole family's out of control. Like, you got way too past that.
Yeah, yeah.
No, come on. You have, you,
no, no, but... But I think you give yourself too little credit, right?
I agree.
It takes some skill. It takes some skill to do.
It takes some guts too.
Yeah. And then, to look at it the way you look at it, right, is, you know, strategic people usually plan for things and they see things different than everybody else, right? That is the truth, right? Is normally, like, I don't know, how many times are you used to people going, are you sure? And you're like, yeah, I'm sure. I've thought about this. It's okay. Like
maybe the creative side of the brain.
I don't know where I left my keys. I don't know if I left my phone, but I'm sure about this because I thought about it, right? Like I'm clear, right? So
yeah. So I think it's about in the case of Ascuity, you know, and when I was moving into tech, it's not crazy. Sure, it's crazy that you're thinking of moving into tech, but strategically, I was moving into retail technology. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't going blind into tech.
Yeah.
I was trying to find, I'm going to use this word and people hate it, the synergies between where I was and where I want to go. And then the other one I was looking at was, you know, fintechs, right? Those were my other option because there is that synergy where I could bring some value and experience. So in the case of Ascuity, it was my experience as an operator. It was my knowledge of retail. Mm. And one thing that I was confident in, you know, when I found customer success, and the way I found it was, you know, I looked at my resume and I looked for a theme. And the overarching theme was customer lens, customer focus, customer centricity, customer service. Like overarching, those themes were consistently popping out on my resume. So when I found customer success, I was able to, again, bring these two, kind of bridge these gaps together, combined with my retail background. And that's how I was able to kind of make my way into tech.
I love this discussion.
Well, I think she's underselling herself, honestly, even in the thought process. Yeah. I still do interviews, like we're, you know, periodically with people. And I tell you the truth, people don't necessarily think that way. They don't go through the resumes looking for
not at all.
Theme.
Not at all.
And thinking it through. So as they approach with confidence, a person that they're going to communicate with for whatever position they're looking for, whether it's to join the opera team or join the tech team or whatever, they don't necessarily think that through. They read the article or the posting, and they try to fit their whole world into that posting, as opposed to maybe looking at the post, say, listen, what do I bring that can actually augment this or push it into a whole different realm? You got to take more credit for the fact that it isn't normal. It's not normal, but really and truly, it's not how most people think. Most people read it. Okay. These are the talking points. They don't go and look at all the things that they're really good at. And maybe that's the creative side of your brain. Maybe that is the artsy side of the brain where you've got an ability to not so box it like, you know, the math side can. And it's a different perspective. Very cool.
For sure. Yeah, it's also untypical, right? Like, because I think the other thing is you think of like most people that I meet, right? CPG that want to come into tech, they're almost looking for, you know, it's like a rock climber. They're trying to find the crevices and cracks that they can kind of like wedge themselves into. And so I think your approach was really neat because you just said, like, I don't need to wedge myself anywhere, right? Like I'm
just going to climb it.
Yeah, I'm just going to climb it, right? And I don't know what's up there. Like, it looks like it's fine from here, or but it doesn't. But I don't know, right? Like,
the rock climber does that. The rock climber just looks and says, you know what? I'll figure it out as I go, but I'm going to climb this damn thing. You know why? Because I know how to climb. Most people, when they're not, the skill set isn't completely honed to that, start looking at it and think, oh, shit, man.
Okay, I need a handhold here. Where's my handhold, right?
I got to find something. Yeah. Okay, there's this crevice thing. Then they're looking for the path, and then they're looking for the way out, and then they're looking, okay, oh, shit, I'm going to get up there and I can't move.
Kenny just talked himself out of tech. Did you notice?
You know what? Because Phil knows me, though. At least Phil knows me, because that's why I would never go into tech, because my mind goes right away that I don't know shit about tech. Outside of the fact that I use a lot of tech, I just get to the point where I don't like, and I'm not going to try to do what you do. I don't look at the fact that I could walk in and said, I don't have to know how to do it. I use it. I can tell you what it does. And I can tell you what I hate about what I'm using and what I think should be done so that it makes me happier user. And that's maybe how you approach it. Right. Where most people don't.
But I truly believe, like, I think that's a mindset issue. It's not, I think anybody can do it. It's just, we go with the easy or the obvious. Probably the obvious. That's true. But I do believe that truly anybody can do it. And particularly in today's society, you know, people are trying to move jobs. People are trying to move industries. And I find that increasingly, especially as people aren't spending as long in their jobs. And, you know, with their companies. And, you know, you talk about wanting to learn as much as you can across various industries and, you know, strive to for knowledge. Anybody can reposition and reframe their experience to move to where they want to go.
I don't necessarily disagree with you. I'll just tell you emphatically that not everybody does. In fact, most don't.
Yeah, agree.
And that's the fundamental. That's why I'm saying I don't disagree with it. I think anybody can learn how to skate. Whether they skate well or not is a whole different argument.
Yep.
Whether they want to get to the ice or they start overanalyzing that if I fall on my ass, it's going to hurt and all the other things. And then they just don't do it. Mm-hmm. But anybody can pretty much do anything. I mean, for the most part, I mean, there's some things you probably, you know, I guess you probably do anything. You just want to do it any well, but
Yeah,
it's still not a normal way to go through and think it, right? Which is the cool part of it.
Yeah, I think you know, you talk about it, people just don't do it. I find something needs to happen to drive a desire to want to do it and mm-hmm. to want to change. And that could be, you know, a poor culture in your organization and that's driving you to leave, or a lack of growth opportunity, or too low a salary, or I just want to change, right? I want to do something new. But there has to be a level of drive to want to move. I find that people find jobs in really three ways. One is they drive to move, two is through relationships, and three is by chance.
Yeah.
And by happenstance that an opportunity falls upon you.
Yeah, it just hit.
Yeah.
Not giving you a percentage. I know the vast majority, and maybe not so much in younger generations, but like I'm definitely a little older than you. But like I know my age group, it's not people aren't bouncing back and forth as much as younger generations. So I can give you a shitload of examples of hate the job, hate the culture, hate the pay. It's been there 30 years. I can give you hundreds of examples of that. Hundreds.
That makes me really sad. Like that hurts my heart to hear.
I know, but that's why when I listen to you, I hear it from a different lens in a sense, right? Because I know so many people who that if I just like to take you out of the computer and put you in my pocket and I will go walk to a few houses tonight and then we'll do this for the next month.
I don't know if you can.
Hey, that's why you got to be like that. You know what I meant. Listen to him. But that's what I'd like to do, because there's 10 homes every night for the next three months that we could go to.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could probably, I don't think, like Phil said, you're not giving yourself enough credit for it. I mean, I know you think it's normal and it's you, and it probably, for you it is, but it's a skill set that don't kid yourself. A lot of people just don't have.
I think you look around, if you look around at your coworkers and the people that you've worked with, you'll see it, right? And I think that's all we're trying to say you know, you live from one uncommon life to another. I would say to you, it's uncommon, right? And the agility that you've shown is something that's just really cool, right?
It's because awesome. I mean, it's so cool.
It's so
cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you. I mean, yeah. I'm really flattered, and you can probably see I'm blushing, but
it's
okay.
I think it's fantastic. I think it's such a wonderful way to look at things. Yeah. It's such a cool way to see what's in front of you. I think it's remarkable. I think that's really, really cool. You know, I don't know if it's an age thing, Phil. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I just, like I said, I know so many.
Yeah,
I know they could do so many other things.
Yeah,
if they would just lose the fear or whatever it is that's holding them back.
There is some, without taking away anything, there is definitely some generational attitudes there as well. Like Elise is younger than, I'm younger than you. Elise is younger than me. Like me moving around every like kind of 2 to 2.5 years. Generate a lot of that discussion, right? Like there were a lot of people that were like, well, why are you, you know, what's
first
wrong with
you?
Why are you moving again? What's wrong? Right? Like, why are you just, you know, like, and so I do think there's a little bit of that, but I do think the way that Elise has gone about it is,
it's so smart. Very,
yeah. So
well, I think
it's smart. It's being confident in yourself and seeing things as they are or as you want them to be, but not delusional.
Yeah.
Attainable. And you're thinking, I know I can do that. Bullshit. I can do this. Yeah. I know I can.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's two ways to move, right? And this is where I'm very blessed and grateful to be, you know, a manager in my company right now, because you are part of the leadership team and you can start to influence the culture as you want to see it. And one thing that I'm very passionate about is employee development, associate development, growth, ensuring that my team, like I can help my team succeed so that I succeed. Mm-hmm. And I think there's two ways you can move. One is out of a company and two is through a company. And you know, it's, I've been really blessed in the last, you know, almost 3 years with Acuity, to do so many different things. And it's because they, you know, they challenge me, but I also challenge them. So, right. You know, this is a bold move, and I'm going to say that in advance. And I think I was shaking through my boots, but like in week two of my job, I went to my boss, and we had just started a partner project with Home Depot to test things out. Like there was no talk of acquisition, nothing. I was 2 weeks in the job, and I wanted to take a role in this project plan, but I knew I was new, right? And I was like, what do I do to not be overlooked, but at the same time, I don't want to, you know, loosen, ruffle feathers. And so I actually, I'm going to bring mom. I went to my mom and she said the okay. So I'll give her that one again.
Always mom.
And I actually went to my boss and I said, look, I know I'm new, but I'm capable. I'm hungry. I'm used to working 16 hour days. Put me to work. Don't overlook me in this opportunity just because I'm new. Like I will work hard and show you what I can do. Mm-hmm. If you give me the opportunity, but the last thing I want is to not be given the opportunity because I'm new.
Mm-hmm. So Phil, in your world, how many people at 2 weeks did that in any of the jobs that you've had? Or thank you. Me too. Just saying.
I mean, it's a bold move. It could have gone the wrong way. It totally could have.
Listen, smarty pants.
You think? Really?
You're wearing those pants now. So
holy
just.
Holy moly. You think that was a bold move? Wow. Yeah, really? That's bold. I'm surprised you find it bold.
I love it.
Good for you.
So I think part of it is be strategic, make your opportunities. Yeah. Don't be afraid to, you know, fake it till you make it. Like big time fake Amen. It till you make it. Yeah. When I joined product, I was like, what the heck? I'm working, you know, you talk about developers and what does Scrum look, what's Scrum and how does the UX work? And here I'm supposed to lead, build a new product. And I have
a
no
lean what? What? You know, oh my God.
Who? Yeah. Wow.
And I had no clues, but I wanted to learn as Phil, you know, going back to learning. So I had lots of meetings, wanted to learn, but I think the other thing is leaning on my strengths. And I'll say that time and time again, I knew that coming from customer success, one area where our product team was, there was a huge opportunity
was
to bring a customer lens to the product.
Yeah.
And so
good for you.
That's how I did it. Right. And so, I mean, in all honesty, the way I've built my career, and there's still a long way to go, and I don't know where I'll be in a year. I don't know where I'll be in two weeks. I know I'll be home probably.
You'll be home. Other than that, you'll be home.
but no matter what, it's just an overarching theme of just the same patterns over and over and over again. Yeah. Your strengths and your transferable skills.
Right.
I love it.
Wow.
Elise, thank you for
joining us. Wow, you're a really, really interesting person.
I'm so glad you were able to join us. This is really fantastic.
Well, thank you for having me. This has been a joy, a pleasure. I am just so grateful, Phil, that you reached out and asked me. And
oh my gosh,
you know, if there's ever anything I can do, like just if any of the listeners want to reach out, I if I can help one person, like that is really just my goal.
Now you got to reach Elise through us.
Oh, this is totally
coming. She's too smart. She's too smart. We're not giving her letter out in the open.
She's not on anything. Not on LinkedIn. There's no way to communicate with her except via this podcast.
Or my mom. I'll make sure she comes on.
We got to talk to mom first because we got to figure out how we're going to deal with mom. Oh actually, God. Maybe not. Mom will smart us. We'll get screwed on the whole deal. Forget mom.
I know. We will. We'll put lose. Your. If you're okay with it, we'll put your LinkedIn in the. In the show notes,
and then absolutely.
And then would you do us a favor when you finish building whatever product you're building?
Please.
Would you please come back and just tell us what it is when you're allowed to, and then what you're doing next?
Actually, I'm not even gonna ask you. You're gonna have to come back. So when you're done, you're coming back. I'm not gonna ask you. Forget the asking part.
I would love to.
Awesome. Honestly, you can come back whenever, like,
you can have whatever you want. Our guests. Sure.
So you come back whenever you want. But
I'd love to hear what you, I'd love to hear what you did, yeah. And then the process.
Yeah.
How you manage some of your challenges, because I think there's gonna be a lot of listeners that will be just, it'll stop them in their tracks, especially some of the ones that are probably a little older, like more my age, where they're gonna be thinking, you know what? I'm not doing this shit anymore. I they may look at things a lot differently very quickly. So pretty cool, my dear. Pretty cool.
I agree.
Well, I hope so. I like I said, I hope that if I can impact one person.
That's all you're looking for, man. Inspire somebody.
Exactly. So I would love to come back. This has been a blast. I don't know what more knowledge I can share. I think I've about hit my limit of, you know, my.
Nope. We don't believe that.
Not likely.
Yeah. Nope.
I'm sure you'll start down a path.
Took a nap and you came back, there'd be more.
Grab a glass of water or something, you'll be fine.
Next time I'll just break out a song.
There you go. Anytime you want, bring it on. That'd be amazing.
Actually, maybe we'll get you to do the intro. We'll have a new intro.
Yeah.
Why not? You know, I was working on the Home Depot theme. You know, that didn't pan out so well, so.
Well, you can try this Motley Crue. Let's see what happens. We love it. That's awesome. That was very interesting.
Thank you so much, Elise.
Thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we will chat soon, Phil. And it was great meeting you, Kenny. Sure we will chat.
You as well. Absolutely. That's what that'd be cool.
Okay. Awesome. Thanks guys. So much.
Ciao. Take care.
Bye.
You going to stick on, Phil, for a minute?
Yeah. I'll stay on. How cool is that?
She's such a smart cookie. You know what it is more than anything. Even if she's, you know what, let's do it this way, because even if she's not a smart cookie, she's very perceptive. She's very confident. She's got a really cool way to look at things. And I think that's what she was sort of getting at. And she is a smart cookie, by the way. But I think what she was trying to say is, I'm not that smart. I just look at things this way. And I'll buy into that. I agree with you. But it takes the smarts to get to the point where you can actually do that.
I mean, to look at it from the lens that she was looking at it from.
Come on, Phil. That's not normal. I don't give a shit what you say.
That's not normal.
Really? That's not normal.
No. Okay?
That's normal people don't do that.
No.
Normal people go in. We need a race car driver. What do they got to know? All they know and know is how to drive a race car. She'd go in, start talking about, well, you know, I sold tires one day. And, I've been in a car before.
I was in an orchestra.
I know how the pit crew works. Exactly. So you know what? Basically, I'm a race car driver. And you know what? Though she probably get the goddamn job.
She's she's just such a wonderful human being. I'm so glad.
It's a cool way to do it. It's a cool way to think of it. I really liked. I mean, even I'm thinking in our side, like when you're pitching a company, you know, don't pitch head to head.
Yeah.
With what you're trying to do, show them all the cool shit on the sides.
Yeah.
That might really play well into it. And that's something we can talk about even when we're talking about the marketing and some of the things that we've talked about. Like sometimes we get just so focused on that thing. That was a really cool, that was a nice conversation.
That was really nice. I really liked it. I really liked that one. Yeah.
Enjoyed that one.
Yeah. Man.
All right.
What else is going on with you?
Oh, I don't know. I got to go try to make pasta now. I mean, you know, the hell am I going to do?
You're hilarious. Oh, I was going to tell you, I got, I don't want to say their name because I don't know if I'm allowed to, but I was telling you about that not-for-profit for new immigrants.
Yeah.
So I pitched them a couple of different options and they took it. So I'm going to be teaching new immigrants about digital tools in Canada.
That's awesome.
How cool is that? I'm so stoked. Like, I'm stoked that I get to do it. And then I'm so stoked they're actually going to pay me to do it.
That's even more awesome.
Right?
The first part was awesome enough.
Yeah. No, really.
Your bonus round awesome. Yeah. That's fantastic. Good for you.
I also won't say because then they might want to take the money back, which they can't. But...
Don't say anything.
Don't
say anything.
But it's, that's awesome. You know, it's not a ton of money, but it is really cool.
It's not the point of something. It's not that. I think it even be just, again, you know what's nice about that more than anything is you've got people that are, you know what you're trying to do is, you know, build a better Canadian. It's awesome when people come here like our families did and they you know, if you can help them get a head start and get that's moving really cool. faster, shit, man. I mean, it's great for the country. It's great for, it's just great.
Yeah.
That's good. Very cool.
It's awesome, dude. Cool.
That's it, man.
That's it.
Okay, I got nothing else for you. She kind of okay. wore me out. She's way too smart, so I'm just gonna, I gotta make some pasta. You know what I can do? I'm gonna warm up the sauce even. I'm not gonna make the sauce for you.
Oh, Kenny, be inspired, baby. Be inspired.
No,
dude, I'm loving the cooking, and then I'm loving, like, now I've been exploring kind of, you know, like I'm trying to make more Italian sauces. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not doing Canadian spaghetti anymore. Like, I'm doing, you know what I mean? Like, I'm absolutely. Just
absolutely
loving it, man. I'm loving it. It's just it's so fun to do.
You got to do one because like Chinese, like most old cultures use salted fish, right? Salted fish is popular in most old cultures because they were all sailors and they moved around the world, right? So the Italian one, the bacalao, or the Portuguese bacalao, is really, you should go buy yourself a nice little piece of bacalao.
Okay.
Unsalted. So you put it in the water, like running, you run drain for the day and a half, 2 days, whatever.
Yeah.
And then just boil it. And then I'll show you how to make a mindlessly easy, like oil, literally oil, chili pepper.
Yeah.
Little garlic, little shallot, a sauce that you will freak. Like Italian food, that's the beauty of Italian. Like Chinese food is very similar. You know what it is? There's not a lot of shit going on. Mm-hmm. The whole trick, not Canadian Chinese food and not white guy Italian food.
No chicken balls.
Canadian shit.
No chicken balls here.
It's their whole purpose is to make those ingredients pop.
Yep.
Like when you eat, so very simple, not a lot of shit going on.
But it is simple. About the process, right? It's like if you go about it in the wrong way, it doesn't pop the same. So you gotta unlock
fresh ingredients, keep it tight.
Yeah.
Not a lot of stuff going on.
The craziness.
A lot of shit going on. That's the French people with their sauces and crap all over. Italians are very clean.
Yeah.
Not much going on. Nice and nice.
Yeah. It's cool, man.
There you go.
All right.
I'm starving. I gotta eat.
Chop, chop. Go eat.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Chat with you. Well, we chat with you, I'm sure, before the week.
I'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good, buddy. Okay. Have a nice evening.
Bye, man. Chop.